Welcome to the Unstuck and Unstoppable podcast, where we help you move your life forward. If you've ever needed to communicate in a public setting, but didn't know how to effectively pull your message together so that you'll reach people, listen, you are listening to the right episode of our podcast today. My name is Jim Kiles, and I'm here with Jolea Garza.
This is one of my favorite topics.
Yes. We are talking about effective communication.
Come on. What? Well, I'm super excited. You know, I'm a debate nerd. So, like, I grew up, you know, I eat, sleep, and breathe this, but I know for so many people, this is a huge struggle, something that people really definitely need some insight on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we want to welcome you. If you're here for the very first time today, I think you're going to get a lot out of the podcast. Joe, it sounds like you're a little bit under the weather.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little, it is, it's November. This is the season for, you know, stuffy noses and all the things.
Well, thank you for pushing through. It's so funny for those of you that are watching or listening. Joe was like, no, I got this. I'm like, I can do it by myself. She's like, no, we got to teach people how to create messages that will bring great impact in their life. And so we love it. I love that you're pushing through and just that you care that much.
Absolutely.
You know, we're talking about public speaking. And for you and I, this is something that we do often. But it's not something we've always done.
Nope.
We had to learn.
100%.
And I know if you're listening now, you could be thinking, well, you know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not someone that teaches or does large group settings. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, if you give a nugget, if you lead a team, if you have a staff, you're
small
constantly
groups,
small groups, you're giving nuggets. Mm-hmm. And the best thing to do is to walk into that environment prepared.
Yes.
I think the fun thing about a great communicator is that when you look at them, you think they just rolled that off the cuff.
I wish.
You know, it's like, man, that just came out. No, it's just not. They've spent hundreds of hours crafting, working, developing, and even behind the scene for that meeting, I'm confident that they spent time doing some of the things we're going to talk about in developing.
It's years of, I think there are definitely people that have the gift of gab, you know. They can say great things. They can say a lot of things, you know. But there is such an art to speaking and communicating effectively to really getting your message across and saying things well.
That's
and so I definitely think that there's some tools, some tactics that take years to learn and develop and and refine. And so I feel like it'll be good to share some of those tools.
Yeah, well, and even though they take years to develop, you can actually implement them right now.
Yes.
I mean, and that's the cool thing about being an effective communicator is that every time you communicate, you get better.
Yeah.
And so that's the goal, is that, hey, I'm going to get better. Now, public speaking is the number one fear. Is that right?
It is.
Mean, didn't
one
you look that up?
One of the top phobias, 25% of Americans said that they fear public speaking.
Wow.
More than heights.
More than
so
heights.
So you'd rather stand on the top of a building.
Death.
More than death.
Like,
more
I'd
than
rather
heights.
Die.
More than snakes, bugs. 25% afraid of public speaking.
Wow.
And I do want to just clarify, like, maybe you will never be, you know,
on
giving a
stage,
message or on a stage, but I think this applies to so many different people, you know, and leading a small group, leading a meeting, you know, even all of those small things. And so I think that you'll be able to pull something out of this podcast.
Well, we got five things that we need to do as we craft a message so that it's effective. So five tools, five tricks, five things. The first one is the message needs to be focused.
So good. It's so important.
So if you aim at everything, you'll hit nothing. So the goal of communication is that you're effective, that you not get information to someone, but you get it through. You get it inside of them. And so you ought to be able to write down in one sentence what it is you're trying to accomplish as you're speaking.
Yeah, and so I grew up with an English teacher as a mom, English professor. And so
we love
one of
Robin.
The things, I know, we love her, but one of the things she talks about is, or, you know, and you'll learn it in high school, is a thesis.
Yes.
What is the one sentence that defines what you're trying to get across? And that's where you want to start, because if you can just give us the one thing,
that's right.
What's the one thing you want somebody to get out of, then everything that you say,
flows.
Everything you write down, all of your notes should all flow and fit into into that one sentence.
Yeah, and if you can't communicate what you're trying to communicate in one sentence, you won't be able to communicate it in a 5-minute nugget, yes, a 15-minute nugget, or a 30-minute message.
Yep.
Have you ever heard someone get up and speak, and they might have had funny illustrations?
Right.
They might have even been engaging, but you walk out, you say, that was fun, but I didn't learn anything.
I've done nothing. Yeah.
I'm like, wow, okay, well, cool. I went to a comedy show.
Yeah, and it's so important just to know, like, we want clarity, and you want to be concise.
That's right.
Because that's what takes it from just communicating something to it being effective.
That's
you
right.
want to effectively communicate.
Well, and I thought the illustration, if you want to put something, a visual with it, shotgun versus laser.
Yeah, that's great.
So think about shotgun. Is this message a shotgun message or is it a laser message? Mm. And the laser ones are the ones that are going to be the most effective.
Absolutely.
Second thing is it needs to be heart-centered.
Mm.
So this is so powerful because when you're going to communicate, the best way to be effective is to communicate with passion.
Yep.
So there has to be some passion with the message that you're communicating. So someone will say, well, listen, I'm doing a safety briefing.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm communicating some dull, boring information. But the truth is, the information might be dull and boring, but your passion to keep people safe is real.
Yeah.
And so if you feel like it's dull and boring and then so are the people that are listening.
Yeah, you have to know what you're sharing needs to come from the heart. I'd love to hear, you know, maybe give us an example of a time that you prepared to speak about something that you were not passionate about versus a time where you're like, this makes me come alive. I love sharing about it and why that difference is so important.
I think for me, it'd be hard to say here's a time, but here's what I found that keeps the passion alive when I speak is that when I'm going to communicate on a topic, and as a pastor, you know, we have topics that don't necessarily, like as a disciple, there are certain topics like you talk about reaching people, evangelism, leadership. Those things
fires me up. Yeah, yeah.
But then you talk about like, hey, we're going to deep dive into the book of James, or we're going to talk about even we did a whole series on legacy, which I love. But really,
I'm teaching. Yep.
Here's what I've learned. What gives me the passion is that when I can go in and really visualize the impact that this message can make
that's
in that
great.
Person's life and the difference that it can make.
Yeah.
It may not be my go-to, like I'm an evangelist, I love people, but my go-to really, if I boil it down, is I want people to be impacted.
That's
I
great.
Want them to be changed and touched and live differently. And so I go and visualize the impact. So if you're doing a safety briefing, visualize that if I'm effective in this briefing, people are going to be safe.
Yeah, yeah. You might hate the content, but as you're sharing, just know this is going to save lives.
That's right.
It changes it. It changes how you communicate it.
And there has to be just this heart-centered, like, man, I'm going to wrap my arms around it. I'm going to embrace it. And then here's what I know, too. If I can't do that, I choose to not give a talk on that.
Right.
I'm going to defer to someone else who might really come alive.
Yeah.
And so whatever situation that's in, I just need to know if it's not heart-centered, here's what will happen. It'll feel canned and hollow.
Yes.
It'll feel like just information, informative, and that's not transformational. That's not, you know, transformative. And so we want to make sure that when we're working on a message, that we're focused, that the message is heart-centered. And then the third thing is that we include stories and illustrations.
Oh, my gosh. This is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Most important.
So illustrations and stories, this is what allows the audience to connect the facts and information to something that is a string in the heart. It's heartfelt. They understand that, hey, this relates to me. I gave a story even Sunday talking about just my kids and how that one of my sons wanted to give as a young child to God.
Yep.
And so we went and filled out the whole giving envelope. And for those of you that don't go to church or don't know anything about Christianity, we have an opportunity to give in church. And so my son is learning about this.
Yep.
He's 5 years old. And he says, Dad, I want to give. And so he gives in what we have our giving centers,
little
boxes, drops it in the box. We're praying over it. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
And what I found later, later that night is when me and Phyllis went to sleep. We'd been celebrating. Man, yes, my son is excited about giving to God. He went and got the key to the giving center out of the top drawer of my desk, and then went and unlocked it, pulled his gift
out.
Stole
his gift back.
Took it back.
That's hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
While we were sleeping, and he said, Dad, I wanted to give, but I had second thoughts. And the whole point of that story and illustration was, I think there are a lot of people that want to be generous, and God is using them to give, whether it's to the church, whether it's to others. But we often have second thoughts, just like my son.
Yeah.
Well, see how that illustration now paints a picture. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, everyone might have second thoughts. And it's funny, and it's engaging. And that's what stories and illustrations do. In fact, I heard a stat that you should give stories and illustrations. In fact, great communicators use the right side of the brain every 8 minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
That every 8 minutes there is a story or an illustration that re-engages the listener back into what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I'd ask you this. If you've ever listened to a message, if you've ever listened to a great talk, tell me what you remember.
Right.
It's so funny. But,
so interesting.
But I won't even remember messages. And what I do remember, what people do remember, are stories. The last time I delivered a message, even a couple weeks ago, somebody came up to me. I was talking about skiing in Colorado. You weren't here. But I was talking about skiing in Colorado. It's been several months. And somebody came up and they were like, I'm still cracking
still
up
thinking
about your story about skiing in Colorado. They probably don't remember anything I spoke about, preached about. But they remember the story.
Your story.
But stories carry weight because they are relatable and they help connect the person to the topic you're speaking about. And so even having a story, maybe you have a few points, having a story per point is so important. And the funny thing is, I don't know about you, but to me, finding illustrations is usually the hardest part of preparing the talk or preparing a nugget.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the secret sauce. So, you know, you get all the nuts and bolts. And then what I do, and I'll talk a little bit about it at the end, is that's part of the marination portion of the message, is you get the nuts and bolts, you get what you want to teach. And the story is just like the extra. This is like, okay, this is what's going to bring it home. And then you trickle them all throughout the message.
One quick, you know, addition to this is what I would say is maybe you know you'll be sharing, you know, in a few weeks or something like that. Start compiling stories now. So I just have a note on my phone. And anytime something interesting happens, something different happens, I just pull out my phone.
That's right.
I make a quick note about it and I catalog it. That way, the next time I need to share, I have just a compilation of stories
That's
to
so
pull
good.
From.
Absolutely. Hey, so now we're going into the fourth thing. And this is, you got to give them the how-to. So whatever you're talking about, don't just give them a problem or a thought. And now give them a practical way that they can implement what you're talking about.
Right.
And so really, you're saying how to be generous, how to live a life of generosity, how to whatever it is that you're communicating. Now I'm going to give the how to, and that leads into the next part, which is a clear call to action.
Number four.
So I'm going to give the how to, but then I'm going to lead into, here's the call to action. Hey, so here's how you do it, and I want to challenge you that this week do three things that will unlock the generosity of God in your life, in the community you live in.
Right. So it's basically telling people how to apply what you're telling them
That's
to
right.
do. So if you're saying, hey, this is an issue and this is what, you know, people struggle with this and everything, are you giving them something to walk out and say, great, I know that was a struggle, but now I'm going to execute this, this, and this, and hopefully make a stride in that area of
my life. Well, and then the last thing is this. It's what I just said earlier. You've got to now let the message marinate.
Right.
One of the greatest challenges in communication is developing content last minute.
Ooh, that's great. So good.
So it's so often that we can find ourselves, it's like the last thing, because everything else in life pulls on you, everything else draws for your attention, and then now you are, you find yourself, I'm walking into a meeting, I'm walking into a session, you know, a service or whatever it is, and now here we find I'm out of time. I didn't actually let it marinate because I just wrote what it is that I'm about to say.
Winging it is great, but real preparation makes your communication effective, and I think that's so important. So you prepare a 30-minute message pretty much every Sunday of the year.
Yes.
50, what is it, 44?
44, 42
times a year. So how long does it take you each week to prepare?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I think that when I first started, it was a lot. Yeah. I'd spend probably 20-something hours a week just preparing a message, trying to go through it. The longer I've been doing it, it takes less and less time.
Right.
And so what I find now is that you've got to have the nuts and bolts of what you want to share. Mm-hmm. You got to have the plan, and then the framework allows you to meditate throughout the week, throughout the month. That's one of the reasons why I like series. You know, we do a lot of series because then I can wrap my mind around ideas and thoughts that we can speak in three or four different sessions. And then allows me to come up with illustrations and stories and articles. And that's what I want to challenge you with. If you find yourself knowing that you're going to be communicating, start thinking about the topic that you're sharing in. And as you read books, as you read magazines, as you listen to podcasts, when you hear stuff, I've got a whole folder on my iCloud account, and it's stories and illustrations. And then I got another one that says messages.
Yep.
And so, like, whatever message series we were in, like I just did one on legacy, there was probably 30 notes in there with legacy.
Just thoughts,
articles,
ideas,
podcasts. Well, then when you go back to build the message, whatever it is you're talking about, I've got a ton of resources where you're not starting from the ground up and scratch. And so I think that that allows you to prepare in advance. And then the marinating. I think you need at least 7 days to marinate.
So
or at least, you know, if you can't get seven, get 2 to 3. Because what I find is I try to button up 90% of my message on Thursday.
Right.
I'm off on Friday.
And on Saturday.
I still have Saturday and then Sunday. And what I'll find is that my day off on Friday, I'm not thinking about the message, but a message will pop up because I'm just in a relaxed mode. Or a thought will pop up and I'll just jot it down. I don't go to work, just jot it down. Saturday, I've been thinking about it. And it allows the message to go deeper and to come out in a greater way of impact for people, because it doesn't feel so shallow, so hollow, but really there's a depth, because not only have I created the message now starts working inside of me.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. Take your time. That way you can take times like Friday to rest. And it's actually really, really good when you have that day of not working. So if you're driving, and you prep, you know, 4 or 5 days in a row, the message no longer, have you ever sat there staring at that page and just saying, it's never going to be perfect? I think that was the other thing I've learned, is you can tweak, and this is maybe even for my experienced speakers, you can tweak it until the cows come home. It will never be exact. But what you want is for just have that extra day where it can just resonate, where you can simmer, where you can sit with it, where you can maybe meditate on it, and then come back one final day, make some final tweaks, and then
fresh
it's just
eyes,
can
fresh
it
heart.
Right, fresh eyes, fresh heart, fresh perspective, and then hopefully it has marinated and sat in your heart enough that when you present, it really just does come from your heart. It comes from,
and there's a deeper level,
right?
You've wrestled with it. I think it's important to wrestle with the message.
Oh, yeah.
Is it everything? Is it the right thing?
Right.
Is it what's needed?
Yeah.
You know, because what's needed today might not have been needed 3 weeks ago, a month ago. And I think even if you communicate the same message in different locations, you know, I'm often asked to speak in different churches, different environments. And not every environment do I create brand new content, but every environment I go in and ask God, what is it that I need to say in this environment?
Yeah.
So what's funny is the nuts and bolts tend to be the same, but sometimes illustrations change, focuses change.
Right.
And that's how you can deliver basically the same thing in a different place and still have a great impact.
That's great.
And it not feel stale or static. And I hope this has helped you.
That's super, really great. Yeah.
Super glad. I love talking about communication.
Me too.
Love helping communicators. Again, whether you're a public speaker or you're just talking to your staff or you're just communicating to your family.
Yep.
You know, you're doing some family nuggets. We do family devos.
Yep.
It's so good to dive deeper and learn how to craft messages that engage people and touch their hearts.
So good.
I hope it's helped you. We look forward to spending more time with you. If you'd like more information, we got great resources at jimkiles.com. Also, my book is out.
Yes!
So excited. Just finished a book called Unstuck and Unstoppable. Same name as this podcast. And we'd love for you to go to Amazon, you go to Barnes and Nobles, wherever it is that you purchase your books, and you could buy it today. Let us know how it's touching your life and impacting you. And until next time, bye-bye.